Welcome to True Story, a podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film in Prague. I'm Ivona Remundová. Hello, dear listeners. Today we talk to Andrei Dascalescu from Romania. Andrei is a director, producer, director of photography, editor, sound editor. Hello, Andrei.
Hi.
If you have to pick one of your professions, if you really have to pick one, what would be the most important or the best for you?
Well, I spent 4 years studying editing in film school. So documentary directing was not on my list of interests. So I would say editing is what I feel most comfortable doing.
We are recording this interview in June 2021. And more than a year after the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, how this year influenced you and your work?
Well, I had just finished my third feature-length documentary, Holy Father, last year, just before the pandemic. So I was already making submissions to festivals. And I was hoping it was going to be a year in which we would travel a lot to festivals. And by we, I mean me, my partner Paula, and our baby Anna Sofia, because Holy Father is a very personal film about us becoming parents. So I imagined that, you know, we would get to do Q&As together in different parts of the world. And of course, that didn't happen. So it was very frustrating for me and for us, but mostly for myself. We kept waiting and waiting. We were hoping even for a launch in Romanian cinemas, and that didn't happen. So it was a hard time. But nowadays we start organizing screenings, special screenings with Q&As, and we get a bit of what we've lost back.
Definitely going to ask you at the end about the interaction with the audience or the first comments you have about the film. But now let's go to the very beginning of creation of this film. Obviously, I can imagine what was the first impulse to make this film, but I'm always interested in that moment when directors, the documentary film directors, decide to shift the camera onto themselves. Take us to this moment and try to explain what were the first feelings and discussions about this.
Well, it all happened very fast. One evening, Paula told me that she will take a pregnancy test. So I said, well, okay, you know, I didn't think that it's possible that she's actually pregnant. And then in the morning, she woke up and told me, hey, I'm going to go take the pregnancy test. And I said, oh, wait, I want to shoot this moment, you know, just in case it will prove to be something meaningful for our future, that it's recorded on camera. And I was very, very much asleep. So, you know, I barely woken up. So I grabbed my camera and went with her to the bathroom, and she did the test, and the result was positive. So we were both in shock. I kept filming, but you know, my knees were trembling and my voice was broken. And I continued shooting up to some point, after which, you know, I put the camera down and I started crying, actually. But then, after this initial shock, I think quite soon, like maybe minutes or hours later, I got the idea to make this film. Because, you know, when we found out that we are going to be parents, we thought about telling our own parents. And that was not an easy task because her parents were divorced and living abroad. And my mother was dead and my father was a monk on Mount Athos. So, you know, just from this first feeling that we need to get in touch with our own parents, I got the idea to document it, to document our life becoming parents, and at the same time, our relationships to our parents. And of course, focused on the relationship between me and my own father, who, as I mentioned, is a monk on Mount Athos in Greece.
Субъекту. ți frică? Da. Îți mai zis niciodată că ți-e frică?
I imagine that this had to be a very hard moment to shift the camera on yourself in such a fragile and new moment in your life. What was the discussion about when you and Paula talked about it?
You can actually see some bits of that discussion in the film. It's one of the first scenes where we talk about what's coming and documenting it. So I wouldn't say I turned the camera on myself, because I'm actually quite a lot hiding from the camera. I like being behind the camera, and I think it's the best way I can express myself, you know, through what I shoot and through asking questions and having reactions, but from behind the camera. But indeed, it's a very personal film, and it was very challenging to make. And I think I would have failed if this was my first project. So I think I combined the experience that I got from making my two previous feature-length documentaries. I combined those with the challenges of becoming a parent. So in a way, the project was helping me in my personal endeavor, and of course my personal endeavor was the subject of the film. So they helped each other.
What expectations, if any, did you have from this project? Did you feel it as a kind of a family art therapy, or did you really go into that with no expectations and waiting what comes later?
I think I went with some expectations. But I realized along the way that my expectations were not necessarily plausible. I mean, in terms of my personal journey, I thought that going and having a serious chat with my father would help me in a way become a better parent. And now, you know, I can say that that was quite a naive thought. It definitely proved not to be true. But I kept this in the film. So in the film starts after this first shot of Paula getting the pregnancy test. Then there is a quite Hollywood-like intro with my voiceover and with a very rhythmic editing, in which I say that now I feel the need to go search for my father. And that's the way how I felt. But when I reached my father in his monastery in Athos, this cool, experienced documentary filmmaker transformed into a very vulnerable child. Yeah, everything changed. I mean, from the thought with which I had left in this journey, and then when I reached the destination, I realized that everything has changed.
Andreea Dascălescu is an established Romanian documentary film director, cinematographer, and editor. His previous two feature documentaries, Planet Petrilla, 2016, and Constantine and Alina, 2008, were selected for major international film festivals across the world and won prestigious awards, including awards at IDFA and Sarajevo Film Festival. Since 2017, Dascălescu has been the founder and owner of the production company Film Lab. His most recent film, Holy Father, is a beautiful and intimate portrayal about the personal relationship between him and his father. In the film, we get to know a future father as he reconnects with his own long-lost father, now a monk on Mount Athos. Holy Father premiered at the Sarajevo Film Festival in 2020, and before the film premiered, it was a participant of the East Doc Platform 2019 and is now part of the most recent edition of the East Silver Market Catalog.
I really admire your courage to show how fragile and sometimes scary can expecting of a first child be. And I imagine how many people can feel supported by your openness. And my question is, was it difficult then in the editing room? Did you have any temptation to really give the material to somebody else so you don't have to choose, or you don't have to be the one choosing what's going to be in the film or not?
I have had difficult times in the editing room, but that is connected in particular with one scene. It is the first big talk that I have with my father in the first visit. because there are two visits and there are two big talks in the film. And the first one is just a complete failure from my point of view. So he doesn't want to tell me anything. He doesn't open up. And even he basically gets up and leaves in the middle of the conversation. And that was very heartbreaking for me at the time when I shot it. And it was very hard for me to watch it when editing. I had a co-editor which joined me somewhere along the project. So he was not involved from the beginning. I kind of made the first assembly myself. So I would be working with him, and I would, when we reach that scene, usually I would go for a walk and I would tell him, okay, you do this. I cannot watch it. So that went on for a while. But of course, you know, I had to watch it at some point. So in the end, when there was nothing else to edit, we went back to this scene, and it was hard, but then I got used to it, and then I had, I had no problem with it.
Would you recommend this path to people who are maybe in a similar situation, that you were having difficult relationships with their parents and then expecting a child? Or would you rather tell them maybe, you would need a therapist or to go through that, or it's really
hard?
I think in a way
making this film was a sort of therapist or therapy for me. But I must mention here that I had a story advisor, Roberto Blatt, who was a co-producer of my first film, Konstantin and Elena, and we have stayed in touch. So now I ask him to help me make this story universal, because being a very intimate and personal story, you know, I didn't want to make a film for me and my own family. So he helped me see the bigger picture. And he always told me, don't forget that this is not a therapy, this is a film. So there were things that I wanted to keep in the edit, and there were things that he wanted to keep in the edit, and that I take out my things. So many times I listened. So I tried not to make this movie just into my own therapeutical session that anybody can watch, but I tried to make it as relatable as possible with the help of the story editor, Roberto Blatt, and my editor and my producer. The good thing was that we didn't have a deadline, so I submitted rough cuts to IDFA, and then Berlin Film Festival, but they didn't take it. So then we just got this extra time, and we went back to the edit after taking a holiday. So this was really good. I can say about Holy Father that it is close to the perfect shape, or the best shape that it could take in editing, which I cannot say about my previous two films, because they were selected at IDFA based on the rough cut. So then it was very little time to reach the final cut. But now we had all the time to reach the final cut. So I'm quite happy with how the editing turned out.
Sometimes I feel this should be the normal habit, that we all should have some time till we really finish the movie to rest and not to be with the material for a while. Would you take this experience also for your next films, to breathe a while away from the editing room and to have some space?
Ideally, I think everybody should do it like this, reach fine cut and then take at least 2 weeks, go to Tenerife or somewhere, forget about everything, and then come back and watch it again and see how it feels. And also, one thing that I did now for the first time, I did a lot of test screenings. So here in my office in Piatra Neamț in Romania, I brought in very different people, from my sister, who was a big milestone for me, that she watched the film and she gave me her blessing, to people who are very, very much Christian. I mean, people who go to church every Sunday and who are believers in that kind of way. And people who don't care about the church or don't care about religion. So I had different experience watching this film with different people. And this is also something I can recommend to filmmakers that they do test screenings. You know, sometimes it's not even about the feedback that these people give you, but it's about the way you see your film differently when there is somebody else in the room. And that is a very important experience, and I think it should be done before reaching the final cut.
I think also very specific experience is to film people around you, your close people, because there is always a much higher risk we take when telling a story of people around us, our closest people, because first of all, sometimes they can tell, okay, enough, I don't want to continue, and you have a relationship with them, right? You don't have to ruin. So were you afraid that while filming or after finishing your film, some of the people around you could say, I don't think it's a good idea?
Yes, and this is the main reason for which I did these test screenings. I was afraid that people will think that I created a bad image for my father or even for the church. And everybody told me it's not the case. So, you know, that kind of that stress of mine kind of went away after having these screenings. And yeah, even during filming, you know, I think many times I was close to that moment where my father would say, I don't want to be filmed anymore, stop filming, or I don't want you to make a film with this footage that you already got. That's the risk of the business, I think. I don't see a way in which you can overcome this risk. Even, you know, signing this contract, because everybody had to sign the release, and he signed it, and I was nervous that he might not sign it, but he did, and he did it at the end. So again, you know, it's you can do it in the beginning, but then you might scare him, and you might make him more aware that he's being shot, and that this is going to become a film, so he might not act natural while filming, but at least you are covered legally. I mean, you have the release, but the way I did it was that, you know, I didn't bring up the talk about legal stuff until the film was finished.
I can imagine this is very like tender situation, and bringing the paper into this like negotiating about what's going to happen can be really strange. And
yeah, especially, you know, we're talking about monks in a secluded monastery on a holy mountain. So if you ask them to sign a contract in the beginning, you 100% scare them off. So then you have no film. But I mean, in this other way that I've done it, the risk is that somebody might not want to sign it at the end, and then you have to remove them from the editing.
True Story is a documentary podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film. You can find news from the world of film on all the common platforms such as iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, as well as on docweb.net.
I hope this is not a spoiler to say that your father chose to be a monk in a very strict monastery. And the film, you say that he is probably not going to see your daughter because the women are not allowed to enter the monastery. Is he going to see the movie?
He hasn't seen it yet. And we are talking quite a lot about this with Paula. I would like him to see it. I would have liked him to see it with an audience. So, you know, I was hoping that maybe the film will be screened in Thessaloniki and I could make an official invitation, not only for him, but for a delegation from the monastery or something like that, that he would be allowed to come. That didn't happen because of the pandemic. So now I'm waiting to see if there is any chance that he would actually come in the country, because he has some health problems, so he might come to go and check the doctors. So if that happens, I will immediately start organizing a special screening where he would be present. I think it's important for him to watch it with an audience, because if he sees it only through his own eyes, he might think that I have created a bad image out of him. But if he sees the way that the audience welcomes him, I think he will understand that I actually have done a good thing.
That's what I wanted to ask you. What are the first reactions of the audience?
I think the reactions are very emotional, and I think many people relate to the film. We have had only two physical screenings with audience, but both were very, very emotional. And the film is already on HBO Go in most countries in Europe, so you can look for it there if you have HBO platform in your country. And since it's been launched on the platform, I get daily or almost daily messages from people who have watched it, people who don't know me. So I think, you know, if people go through the trouble of looking for me on Facebook or Instagram just after watching my film, just to write me, you know, that they enjoyed the film or that it meant a lot for them or that they have a similar issue with their own parents. I think that this means that the film works well with the audience.
You already mentioned it a bit, but I wanted to ask you, as you attended Eastok Platform in 2019 and just before your film was finished, does it help you as a filmmaker to show a film which is not finished yet to a broader audience to understand better what the film should look like?
Yeah, I tell this to my students also. I think any project should be in at least one workshop or market, you know. It should be out there. Because if you do it by yourself, of course with your team in your country, and you don't get the feedback of international professionals, and you don't get test audience, as I mentioned before, you know, you might be in a very wrong path. So being at the Eastok Platform, I think, was useful in this way. I think I got the extra chance to premiere in some big festivals, a chance that did not happen, but I got an extra chance. I think, you know, I was closer than if I hadn't gone to Eastok Platform. So we met, you know, we were in touch with Sundance and with Hot Dogs and other festivals, big festivals that in the end did not take the film. But at least, you know, maybe when I do the next project, they will remember me. So in that way also it's very useful.
And at the end of our interview, I'd like to ask you to share with us, what are you working on now, or what's your dream next project?
Well, I have already two projects that I want to make, and they are both very far from this personal film that Holy Father is. One is a pandemic project. It's a collective video diary of the lockdown. In Romania, we only had one lockdown in 2020 for about 2 months. And I asked several people to keep a video diary of their new lives in lockdown. I think the footage is very good, because shooting themselves with the phone, with their phones, people got very intimate. So I have very good and powerful moments captured on these phones from these people, and it's a project that I need to start editing. But because I always imagine this as a post-pandemic project, you know, I didn't find the energy to start editing while we still had the pandemic and while we still have to wear a mask and cannot do public screenings and all that. But now that hopefully, you know, this is coming to an end, this will probably be my next project. It's called, at least for now, Videograms of a Pandemic. And then there is a second project about a traveler, a friend of mine who crossed the two Americas, so from north of Canada to south of Chile, alone on his bike. It took him 3.5 years, and he had a lot of adventures on the way. So this would be another documentary, mostly an editing project as the other one. I said this to myself before even getting these two ideas, that after making such a personal project, I feel the need to do something that has nothing to do with me. So there is a collective pandemic diary and the diary of a traveler through the Americas.
Thank you very much. I'm definitely looking forward to your next projects. Thank you very much for this interview, for True Story, and thank you for your great film. Thank you very much, Andre, and I hope to see you soon alive on some festival.
Yes, I hope we can meet again in festivals, because that's a big part of the filmmaking for me.
Thank you.
This was Andrei Daskalescu.
Thank you for listening to True Story, a podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film in Prague. We will be back with you soon.